In today's Mishnah, we're in the 6th and 7th Mishnah from the 5th Perek of Masechta Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah begins, Baleshet Goyim Shenich Nesala Ir B'Shat Shalom. So Baleshet, he refers to a troop of soldiers, but Baleshet literally means plunderers. So that is because the troops would come into, the soldier would come into city and it starts going through people's houses and take things as they pleased. And the Mishnah says, Shenich, and they've come into a city at B'Shat Shalom at a time where there's no war, and therefore they have not really pressed for time. And Mishnah says, Chaviot, any barrels of wine in Jewish houses, if they were petuchot, if they were open, then asurot, they're then forbidden. Because certainly, he says, without a doubt, we're concerned that the goyim would have touched these wines. However, stumot, if they're sealed, then they're mutarot, then they're completely fine. And we say that we're not concerned they would have opened and resealed it because these soldiers are scared of nobody. They don't feel compelled at all to reseal any barrels they would have opened. So therefore, we can be certain that they haven't opened these barrels. And that's specifically, however, if we're dealing with seals like we've been discussing the previous Mishnah, made of tit, made of clay. However, if it's just a lid, a pakak, made of wood, and despite the fact that this barrel is closed, then it really has the same status of a barrel that is completely unsealed or open, because it's very simple to place it back exactly where he removed it from. Mishnah then continues, if, however, it's b'shat milchama, if it's a time during war, then we say elu ve'elu mutarot. Even the open barrels would be considered mutar. Why lefisha ein p'nai l'naseach? Because they don't have enough time to touch the wine and do nisuch hamayim and do these libations and for the purpose of idol worship. Now, interesting point here that the Kati notes here is citing the run, that if, however, there were certain barrels that were closed and sealed prior to these soldiers coming through, and now when the person finds them open, then one would need to be concerned. But the default position is that we do not need to be concerned because they wouldn't have time to start doing this nusuch hayayin. Let's learn Mishnah Zayin. Umanim shel Yisrael. He was dealing with Jewish craftsmen. Sheshalach lahem nochri chavit shel yayin bischaran. And the nochri, the non-Jew that the Jew did work for, sent him wine for his payment. Mishnah says, Mutarim lomar lo. The Jew can tell the goy, prior to actually receiving this wine, he says, listen, I prefer if you give me money instead of the wine. And that would be fine, because since he hasn't yet received the wine, it's not considered as if he's selling Yayin Nesach, which he's not allowed to do, and therefore the schar, the money, is not considered asur b'ana, and that would be a good solution. However, im misha nichnasa l'rushutan, if, however, this Jewish worker already accepted the wine, it was already his, and he goes back to the guy and says, look, I really prefer to set money, do you mind swapping, or taking it back and giving me money instead, in that situation it's too late, because it will be considered as if he is selling the wine, it's not considered his salary anymore, and the profits made from selling Yayin Nesach, one is forbidden from driving any benefit from it. Let's continue. Hamocher yeino lanochri. If someone sells wine to a non-Jew. Importantly here, what's the concern? The concern is, at the moment, it's not Yayin Nesach. Once the goy starts handling it, it's going to become Yayin Nesach. He's not allowed to drive any money from the sale. So how can we arrange this sale so there's not going to be any problem, so the Jew can actually make money off this sale? So Mishnah says, if pasak, if the Jew set the price, prior to Anshalom Madan, and prior to the goy pouring out this wine, or to say measuring out the wine for the sale, then we say damav mutarim, then the payment is absolutely fine. Why? That is because since they've set a price, as soon as the goy does meshicha, meaning he draws this barrel towards himself, then he would already be considered his. It's as if he already acquired it, and the money, the payment was already considered for the wine prior to becoming a nesach, and therefore it's not a problem. However, if madad, if he measured ad shelo pasak prior to setting the fee, then we say that the time when he drew it towards himself, since he didn't know what the fee was, his intention wasn't to acquire at that point, and it still belongs to the Jew. So once you set the price after, and you want to try and be paid for that wine, that would be a payment for Yayin Nesach, because a non-Jew has already started pouring this wine out and measuring it, and we have got issues of Yayin Nesach at that point. And to be clear, it's then that we have a concern that he touched the wine. It's if he touched the wine, that's when it will become Yayin Nesach. Mishnah continues, Natal et hamashpech. Now, to appreciate this next part of the Mishnah, we have to understand it's a principle that's called Nitzuk Chibur, which means, for Avodah Zarah purposes, we hold the principle of Nitzuk Chibur, and that is that if you're pouring from one container to another, the stream would connect the contents in the bottom kli to the top kli. So why is that important? So let's say it's a continuous stream. What that would mean is that if, say, there's Yayin Nesach in the bottom kli, and you're pouring wine from the top kli, then it would connect the wine from the bottom kli to the top kli, and it would all become asur. So let's have a look at this particular case. If we say, notelat hamashpech, let's say he takes a mashpech, which is a funnel, umadad letoch tzluchit shel nochri, and he measured it into the tzluchit, into the flask or the container that the Nochri brought with him, and it had a bit of Yain Nesach at the bottom of it. So that means everything in that stream going up into the Mashpech would also become Yain Nesach. Then what happened? V'chazar, and then he took that funnel and used it to pour in, say, other wine into a Jew's container. So Mishnah says, "V'chazar matal l'tochit tzluch shel Yisrael." He says, "Im yesh bo akevet yain." If there was, say, for example, a lip, or some, it was constructed in a way that some of the wine from the first pouring was still caught in the funnel, then we say it would now be asur, because the wine that pours into funnel would meet up with the residual wine from the first pouring. It would all become yain nesach and make everything, in the, even the kli that we're pouring into, also yain nesach as well. So it's asur. As Mishnah says, Yimish Makevet, Yain Asur. Mishnah continues, Imma Arem Mikli El Kli. This is similar to the case I brought by way of introduction, but with a slight difference. If someone's now taking a barrel of wine, which has Jewish wine in it, and he's pouring it to, say, a barrel or a container that has Yain Nesach in the bottom of it, but as he's pouring it, before the liquid hits the Yain Nesach in the Kli below, he sort of takes the original Kli and makes it upright, so there's no longer a continuous stream all the way from the bottom barrel, say, to the top barrel. In that situation, we say, et she'eramimen, or that top barrel will then be mutar, because, again, we broke the stream in between, and therefore we don't have the problem nitzu chibur. However, et she'era l'tocha asur. However, the stream of water, once it hits the yain nesach in the bottom kli, the entire stream all the way up, so even some of the wine that has not yet hit the barrel, that would all become yain nesach immediately, and as the Mishnah says, it would become asur. Those are the Mishnah today.